I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture today is taken from Genesis 32, verses 22 to 31. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled him with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "I have seen the Lord, I have seen God's face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip.
Thank you, Mitch. You know, this passage can be a bit confusing for those of us who think of God taking the form of man and his son Jesus. But here we see him taking the form of a man to wrestle Jacob. However, we must look at the writer's intent when we read this story, which is totally different from our gospel accounts. Interestingly, both stories involve God's relationship with humans. In this case, God has a relationship with Jacob, and he goes down to wrestle with him to basically teach him a lesson. But in the relationship that God had through Jesus, it was to bond with all of us and to give us life eternal. Once again, we must remind ourselves of Jacob's journey from conniver and deceiver to faithful and devoted believer in God. Big change for him. Jacob has come a long way in life at this point, and here he is wrestling with God. So far, in fact, God is now going to embrace him. Jacob has come from being a conniver, a deceiver, and doing all these horrible things that we read about to being someone that God wants to embrace. Now, I want you to think about this, because when you wrestle, you can't wrestle without embracing, right? It's kind of hard to wrestle if you're not going to grab somebody. You'd just be dancing around. So God is there to embrace Jacob. Now, have you ever in your life been embraced by God? And if so, were you aware of it when you were embraced by God? I mean, a hug from God's a pretty big thing. But here's the thing, most of us forget that God works through humans. And there are those who have hugged us in our life who are acting in God's stead. God works through them. So I would imagine most of us have, if not all of us, at one time or another, been hugged by God. You see, God works through us, and he did this. He worked through human flesh to hug Jacob. Now, here's a little thing about a hug, and I want you to hear this from Wikipedia. Glenn and I were laughing about Wikipedia, but they do have some interesting things. It says, a hug is a form of endearment, universal in human communities, in which two or more people put their arms around the neck, back, or waist of one another and hold each other closely. If more than two people are involved, it may be referred to as a group hug. It has been clinically proven hugs reduce stress. That's been proven, and we teach that in therapy. If I have people come in for counseling, they're always told about the therapeutic effects of a hug. Hugs can make you happier. Hugs can reduce your fears, and hugs can help you communicate. A lot of us, instead of saying, I love you, we communicate, I love you, through our hugs. I've had people tell me, my mom, my dad never told me that they loved me, but they hugged me all the time, so I knew that they did. Here's a little poem for you. It's wondrous what a hug can do. A hug can cheer you when you're blue. A hug can say, I love you so, or I hate to see you go. A hug is welcome back again and great to see you where you've been. A hug can soothe a small child's pain and bring a rainbow after rain. The hug, there's no doubt about it. We scarcely could survive without it. A hug delights and warms and charms. It must be why God gave us arms. Hugs are great for fathers and mothers, sweet for sisters, swell for brothers. And chances are your favorite ants love them more than potted plants. Kittens crave them, puppies love them, heads of states are not above them. A hug can break the language barrier and make your travels so much merrier. No need to fret about your store of them. The more you give, the more there are of them. So stretch those arms without delay and give someone a hug today. Notice in our scripture there is nothing noting God was out to defeat Jacob. We don't hear that. We don't hear the scripture tell us, well, he wrestled with Jacob because he wanted to beat him. That was not the reason. In fact, in this battle, had God wanted to, as we see, he could have thrown his hip out at any point, which in the original Hebrew, I'll share with you, it's not his hip, but nevertheless. So why did he just wrestle him, continuing to hold on to him? Perhaps being held is just what Jacob needed at this point in his life, because by the time this wrestling match starts, Jacob is about to go back and face Esau. And you know what he did to Esau. It has been 20 years, but in Jacob's mind, and we can read this in the scripture, Jacob's not sure if Esau's going to try to kill him. So he has a lot of fear, and here comes God taking Jacob into his arms. If Jacob had fears and was stressed, being held is just what he needed, and God provided the hugs. And by the way, just so you'll know, scientists recommend four hugs a day, so you might want to get your four hugs. At the end of the wrestling match, God gives Jacob a new name, and that name is Israel, which in Hebrew means God contended, or wrestles with God. So we have a nation, Israel. And has that Israel not contended with God? This name is very significant. It's not just the name of a nation or the name of a person. It has a much deeper meaning. And I hope we can all appreciate that meaning wrestles with God, because most of us do that. Most of us wrestle with God. It's just something human that we've done for thousands of years, and we continue to do so. Do we believe in Him or do we not? People wrestle with that. Do I really believe in God or don't I? God, what do you say? You don't think people don't wrestle with their faith? that they wrestle with whether or not it's important to be a part of a faith community? People are always wrestling with God. It's what they do. If we are one who does believe, and something terrible happens in our lives, do we not wrestle with God saying, God, why? Why did you do this to me? We wrestle with God about that. Some of us wrestle to the point we fall away, and you see people leave the church. They say, well, you know, I've believed in God my whole life, but I lost so-and-so, or something happened, I lost my business, whatever it is, and they say, I just can't believe anymore because they wrestle with God. And they wrestle with God not understanding the infinite, because we are finite. So it's a lack of understanding on our part. That is exactly what happened after the Holocaust. If you haven't heard, and I hope most of you have, our Israel, our people of Israel, the Hebrew people throughout history who have always been with God after the Holocaust, many of them just left the faith. They wrestled with that. And they came to the conclusion that they just couldn't deal with it. It's unfortunate. Many Jews wrestled with God trying to understand what happened. And again, I say, just because we are believers, because we are declared the chosen ones, does not mean everyone else is. We may want everybody else to be like us when we become God's follower, when we follow His Son, Jesus Christ, but they don't. People are people, and we can only be responsible for our own actions. I don't believe anyone here can explain the Holocaust or any of the wars that we had. There's so much more going on. Then God said, let me go, for the day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That's an awareness on Jacob's part. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then the man said, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed. What does it mean to prevail? If we have striven with God and still maintain our faith, we have prevailed. Notice Jacob does not want to let go of God. Would you, if you were holding God? He clings to Him even when he's injured. He threw his hip out and Jacob's still holding him. How easy it would have been to jump back and say, wow, look what you did to me. But that wasn't Jacob. Jacob held on. Why? Because Jacob understood he was in the presence of God. And how do we know this? Because he asked God to bless him. He wouldn't have asked just anybody. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Always remember, it is always easier to let go than to hang on. Jacob held on. Folks, how many of us, having wrestled with God for a long period of time, just let go of Him, or have refused to let go of Him and asked for His blessing? Which one are you? The person who just lets go when things don't go your way, or the person who clings and says, bless me? And how many of us, while wrestling with God, have cursed Him and chided Him for what has happened in the world? Lord, why? Why is this? Why? That question always comes up. You know, wrestling with God is really not a competition. We all understand that, right? It's not a competition when you wrestle with God. To make it a competition would be like the farm boy who got a white football for Christmas. He played with it a while and then kicked it over into the neighbor's yard. An old rooster ran out, looked at it, and called the hens to see it. Now look here, the rooster said, I don't want you girls to think I'm complaining, but I just want you to see what they're doing next door. That's not like with God. We're not equals. Wrestling with God is not a competition. God's going to win every time. Now we may think because we walk away, we've won. That's not the case. You lose God, you've lost it all. Truth is, we cannot compete with God. We can either cling to him and ask for his blessing, or we can let go, which is truly entering the abyss. Living life without God, to refuse God's hugs of love and comfort, leaves us alone spiritually in a cold world. Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. He didn't walk away without something. He got his hip thrown out. And oftentimes when we wrestle with God, we walk away and God's mark is on us. There's evidence that we have wrestled with God. It is also important we note a confrontation with God will leave its mark. For Jacob, who became Israel, walked away with an injury. Had Jacob walked away with no mark of his encounter with God, we may doubt that he ever saw God. But God leaves his mark on us when we wrestle with him. For better, for worse, we carry God's mark. In Jacob's case, wrestling with God increased his faith, which the limp was actually an indicator of that faith. Remember, I'm not letting go. Bam. After all, he clung to God even after God injured him. What mark or marks do you carry to indicate you've wrestled with God and increased your faith? What have you survived while clinging to God? You know, three schoolboys were asked to write their definition of faith. It's true. One wrote, "Faith is taking hold of God." The second wrote, "Faith is holding on to God." And the third wrote, "Faith is not letting go." Most everyone recognizes Ludwig von Beethoven was a Christian and a musical genius. But not everyone realizes the adversity he had to overcome to achieve his greatness. In his 20s, Beethoven began to lose his hearing. Because he couldn't feel the music as he once had, on one occasion he said his fingers became thick. His hearing problems haunted him into the middle years of his life, but he kept it a guarded secret. By the time he reached his 50s, Beethoven was completely deaf, but he refused to give up. Don't think for a minute this man didn't wrestle with God. To be that talented and to lose his hearing. He was once overheard shouting at the top of his voice, "I will take life by the throat." Many of his biographers believe the only reason Beethoven remained productive for the 15 years he was losing his hearing was determination. How many of us are determined? How many of us take life by the throat when things go bad? How many of us hold on to God when things go bad? When times are tough and we wrestle with God, I believe God calls us to be determined. And he certainly made Jacob determined. And Jacob left that wrestling match and he faced Esau. And he was not looking forward to it. To be productive in this world, which can actually zap our strength and our faith, we've got to be determined. He hugs us as he hugged Jacob. Jacob had been beaten up and beaten down, yet his determination to cling to God, to receive God's blessing, were stronger than anything he had faced. Is yours? Is your faith so strong that no matter what, you cling to God? Never fear wrestling with God. Fear not being determined enough to hang on and get his blessing. Hang on and get his blessing. We have many people throughout history who have overcome great, great, great adversity, only to be a better person, only to do more, than they had ever done before. It takes determination. Wrestle with God. God's up for it. God will wrestle with you. Just understand you're not going to win, but you will walk away blessed. What a wonderful way. Wrestle with God. We all have questions. We don't always understand, but God does, and God will bless you for wrestling with Him. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that all too often we just want to give up. We don't understand what's going on in life right now. We don't really understand the coronavirus. We don't understand why we're not stopping it and why so many people are dying. It would be easy just to give up. But we choose to cling to You. We choose to ask for Your blessing, to ask for Your healing, to ask for the hope that You can fill us with. Be with us as we go from these buildings into Your world, into the world of the people that You have created, that we may be shining examples of a people of faith, a people who believe to be determined. Be with us. Guide us, for we ask this in Your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.